All right. Well, it's a blessing to be here. And I also had asked you to pray for my boy, Jason, way back here. He's diagnosed with autism, somewhere in the spectrum. So we're blessed. We're able to get some help up where we are in Sault Ste. Marie. So we're thankful about that. But just thank you for your patience. But amen. We're praying that he'll get saved one day. Amen. Josiah got saved about a year ago when he was 7. We watched a video about the rich man. And it was like a cartoon, but in the video it had the rich man in hell. And Josiah's like, I don't want to go there. And I was like, well, you got to turn to the Lord. You have to realize you're a sinner. And I was able to lead my own son to the Lord on the couch. Amen. That was a great privilege. But I ask you to just continue to pray for us. Tonight, my message is the value of a soul. If you take your Bible and turn to Mark chapter 8, verse 35 through 38. Earlier this morning, we were in E-Course, Michigan, E-Course Baptist Temple, I believe, Pastor Owens. And it's good to see a pretty good-sized crowd. There's maybe 15 of us in an auditorium about this big this morning. So it's really good to see such a good spirit. You know, I walked in here tonight, Pastor, and everybody's so friendly. I really appreciate that. I mean, I was here 12 years ago, but I think you seem more friendly this time. Amen. I don't know. But you seem everybody's so kind, and we really appreciate it. But let me read. I don't know what your custom is if you stand, but why don't I just read these verses, verse 35 through 38, and you could follow along with me. It just says this, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Tonight I just want to talk about the value of a soul, amen? I believe that in a crowd this big, most everybody would be saved here at this church. But perhaps there's one tonight that doesn't know the Lord is your Savior. Tonight you can have that knowledge of eternal life, amen, found in Jesus Christ. I was saved September 12th, 1996, in Hiles Anderson College. I was in college. And Brother Jeff Owens, I don't know if any of you know him, but he preached a message and called Don't Go to Hell from Hiles Anderson College. And I thank the Lord for a man of God that would dare to preach amen on hell, amen, in college, amen. But he was just faithful to do what the Lord asked him. I believe over 200 were saved that day in morning and evening college. But about a year before that, when I was in Bible camp, I believe some of you maybe go to, it was Indian Creek or different Bible camps, but I should have got saved a year before. Because the Lord is really dealing in my heart. But I taught myself out of it. I don't know if you've ever been there. But I taught myself out of it. But the value of a soul, the souls of men and women, boys and girls, are precious in the sight of the Lord Jesus. And they ought to be precious to us. I believe they are to many of you here tonight. But let me flip back here. If we're going to see the true value of a soul, we need to see people through the eyes of Christ. Christ cared for souls. I mean, he left the glories of heaven. He who was rich became poor that we might be made rich. Amen. And I'm so thankful for that. I was a poor, wretched, lost sinner until Jesus saved me. I mean, man, I'll never get over that day. I remember about where I was sitting, about 3 or 4 rows back. I remember going forward, and Brother Tim Sober, you wouldn't know him probably, but he's a missionary to China, and he knelt down with me. Amen. But I knew all the Bible. I knew it all up here, Pastor Rogers. Right. I knew it all upstairs, but it wasn't here. I looked at other people. I grew up in a Christian home. I thought, boy, they're my brothers. They're my six brothers: Jacob, Joshua, Jonathan, Jamin, Jesse, Jonas. They're all sinners, but I'm okay. But you can't get to heaven by thinking you're okay. You have to know that you've been redeemed. Amen. But let me come here back to my message here. The value of a soul. To know the will of God is the greatest knowledge. To do the will of God is the greatest accomplishment. For some, they would say, "My value of a soul, what's a soul?" Well, it's so important that Christ died for each soul. And the amazing thing is, if you were the only sinner, Christ still would have came and died on the cross for you. If you're only one sinner, he still would have came to earth. But let me continue here. The fact that we are made in the image of God makes us uniquely distinct from the rest of God's creation. Well, people are being taught that we came from monkeys. Well, some look like they might have, but anyway, let me keep going on. But there's a song about that. I'm no kin to the monkey. Monkey's no kin to me. I don't know about your ancestors, but mine didn't swing from a tree. Amen. I digress here, but let me keep going. Genesis 1:27 says, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air." Verse 27 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." Amen. The Bible refers to our bodies as an earthly house. When God breathed the breath of life into Adam, the Bible says Adam became a living soul. Amen. Amen. We're not like the animals. We have a living soul that's going to live forever, either in heaven or separated from God forever. One of these days, our tabernacles are going to give out. We're going to fly away. Amen. And for some, it may be sooner, apparently, than others. But we don't know when our last day is. But that's why today we need to take this time to be concerned about what the Lord is concerned about souls. Oftentimes people may pamper the body, but neglect the soul. In Canada, where we are, it seems like there's a lot more people that walk are walking everywhere, they're exercising, they're doing everything they can to keep this whole body alive, but many are neglecting their soul. Let me continue on here. Jesus taught that is a bad bargain if we should try to exchange our souls for the world. For Mark 8:35, "Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it." Some may wonder, I'm not saying people in here, but some in the world may wonder why they would say we would waste our lives as missionaries. But when time has elapsed and eternity comes, we will realize that missionaries have not wasted their time. And I'm excited for the conference and Brother Denai, amen, for him being here. But I want to say we need to recognize the value of soul. So number one, there's a great treasure. Your soul is priceless, as is each and every living soul in this world. Amen. It's unique and valuable in its creativity. The identity of the Creator adds to the Creator's worth. You know, our Creator is wonderful. God is our Creator. He made every person a living soul, every person a unique individual. Just like there's no two snowflakes alike, there's no two people alike. Amen. I have a twin brother, but he's not even close to like me. I had one pastor. I actually had somebody tell me. He said, "Don't you feel like when he feels pain, and if he feels pain, you feel pain?" I said, "No, I think I might have caused him some pain, but I don't feel that. So we're different." But again, here in Ephesians 2:10, the Bible says this, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." Boy, this mission conference, this time you have coming, it's a good work. We're not saved by good works, but thank God after we're saved, we do good works because we are saved. Amen. The soul is unique in its potential. God has pre-designed his children to be conformed to the image of his son. Pastor, I was thinking about this. There's so many good preachers that have passed on and went to heaven. You know, I was reading the Bible one day and I came across this verse and it says the righteous are taken away from the evil to come. Well, maybe that's why God's taking them away. It's getting more evil. But why are we left here on earth? My dad used to say this and he still says it. But we are saved to serve. If we were just saved just simply to be saved, then Christ would have taken us to heaven the day that we got saved. But we're here to save. We're here to be conformed to the image of his son. And you know, as I came in the church today, people were talking about, I think it was Brother Pearson. And I believe that man, from everything I heard about him, was conformed to the image of Christ. And that ought to be our desire. I met two of the men, so that they were he was instrumental in leading us to the Lord. Amen. I thought, what a testimony. That is great. I mean, I wish that could be my testimony. At the end of my life, people would walk up and say that. But continue. The soul, let me say this, has durability. Our souls will exist either in heaven or hell forever. They're durable. Daniel 12:2 says, "Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to everlasting shame and contempt." Boy, I'm so glad I don't have to worry about the shame and contempt part. Amen. I'm thankful for that. But they that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever and ever. Amen. I'm looking forward to that day. I want to turn people to righteousness. I can't turn them, but with God's help I can. And you can. But our souls are unique in their rarity. Our souls are absolutely unique and rare. There will never be another you. Amen. For some, they say, thank God. Amen. Anyway, I'll keep going. Or for others, they'll say, thank God. Amen. But desirability. What something is worth is determined by the price somebody's willing to pay for it. Our souls are so valuable. Christ, again, as I mentioned, was willing to leave the splendors of heaven. He didn't have to leave heaven, but he chose to leave heaven. Thank God for that. The Bible teaches in 1 Peter that we're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from the vain conversation. Boy, you could gain the whole world, gain all the silver, but you know, the Bible teaches that all the silver, in Northern Ontario, they have gold mines, different mining, a lot of gold. Have a track on the table, a story about that. You can take that. But God owns the wealth of every mine. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. And when we get to heaven one day, what people put stock in gold down here is what we're walking on up there. And so God cares about souls. I want to say next is the foolish transaction. Some will exchange maybe material goods for this or of this world and lose their own soul. Now, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Well, some will give, I don't know, you fill in the blank. Maybe some will say, well, there's something I've been wanting. I had a preacher tell me the other day, said, there was something I wanted a motorbike. Because I wanted to ride with all the men in the church. I wanted a motorbike, but he told me, he said, you know what I did? I went home, and I decided it was missions time, and I'm just going to give it to missions. He said, I didn't have to do that, and the people didn't expect me to do that, but it's something I chose to do. Boy, I thought, you know what? He had laid up treasures for eternity. There's three reasons it's a bad bargain to choose the world to lose a soul. One is, no one gains the whole world. Remember Jesus on the mount with Satan, or on the pinnacle of the temple, and Satan said, all the kingdoms and the glory of the whole world will I give you. What did Jesus said? He said, "My, get thee behind me, Satan." He's like, and Jesus, when he came the first time, he came to die. He came to finish his course. But when he comes the second time, he comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm looking forward to that day. But nobody gains the whole world. The devil can make things very appealing, but nobody gains the whole world. Not only that, but the part of the world a person might think he or she would gain, they can never keep. You never see a hearse drag, you know, a hearse dragging a U-Haul. Amen. When that hearse goes there, that's it. And whatever they laid up in heaven is the only thing they're bringing to heaven. And the people that they've helped influence. The third reason why it's a bad bargain to exchange the world for the soul is the world will never satisfy. Is there pleasure in sin for a season? Yes. But it's for a short season. It's just for a little bit of time. And then it's done. It's over with. Let me... to lose a person's soul is a tragic loss that can never be replaced. You know, we can replace things, but we can't replace people. We can't replace opportunities to win people to Christ. We can't replace that. If the Lord's dealt with your heart, I've had this happen, where the Lord's dealt with your heart to go witness to somebody, you need to do it. You need to take opportunity. Lord's been dealing with my heart about a neighbor across the street. I talked to him a little bit the other day, but his name's Jamie, and I believe he's a truck driver, but he needs to be saved. And I pray that you would pray with me about him. I also have a neighbor right next. We just moved, and a neighbor to my right's Brian. He's more of the Indian-type religion. Then to my left, they're unsaved. The husband and wife, they're only going to live in that house another year, they plan on, then they're moving. And so sometimes our opportunities that we have are for today. We don't know that we have tomorrow, so let's take care of today, amen. And then lastly, I want to say it's a fatal tragedy, again, a tragedy. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Maybe the Lord's dealt with your heart. This coming mission, you know, when mission conference comes, I'm a missionary and I get nervous around missionary conference. I give the mission, you know, faith promise, but I get nervous because I'm like, Lord, I mean, I should be excited, but sometimes I get nervous because I'm like, Lord, what are you gonna ask me to give this year? Amen. One year, my wife and I prayed about it, and we came up with the same financial number. Amen. I thought, man, I think the Lord's in that one, so we went forward on that, but. But just one of these days, folks, the things of this earth are going to so quickly pass. And, I'm not trying to scare anybody, but maybe one day our U.S. dollar might not be worth much. And so what we put into heaven, we need to do it now. And I just want to encourage you with that, a little bit of a encouragement tonight. But thank you for your time tonight, Esther.